He has full control.
The Sharpshooters, episode 13, October 29th, 2005.
Calculating that spit to be rhymed as I might brush to like the tick in the time to every last line before the elements to surprise.
Welcome, everybody! The Sharpshooters!
Podcast Unlucky 13.
I'm Eric.
I'm Marcus, the grand finale.
And we're the Sharpshooters. Right. A podcast about wrestling and wrestling.
And wrestling and wrestling.
All right, are we finished with our voices?
I think we're finished.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Sharpshooters, episode 13. If you guys didn't understand us before, I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the grand finale.
And we're the Sharpshooters.
And I have a cold.
Yeah, we have a cold. And also, this is going to be a quick show. Might not be one of our longest shows because we're going on vacation. You heard it right. We're going to Vegas.
Yay.
We're going to lose all our money and get drunk. And
probably lose the show.
And the grand finale plans on going to the casino in his drawers and sit up at the table with his feet on the table.
Yeah, I'm getting dragged out, like, to the casino.
So anyway, enough about our vacation and our personal achievements. Let's get right into the show. On today's show, we're going to have the news as usual.
Yep.
We're going to have the SmackDown report.
All right.
And we're going to have our top five. Our top five this show is going to be the top five stables or factions in wrestling or in the past. We're not going to have separate lists once again because
we
compared the lists. We had a lot of similarities.
Too similar, man.
Also, as you guys all know, this Tuesday, Jake the Snake will be releasing a DVD chronicling his career and his demons. And we will do our best to get a hold of it to bring a review of that DVD to the fans.
Yeah, it's probably going to take some time. You know how the Ultimate Warrior had the low weight Netflix.
I don't know. Marcus is a huge fan of Jake the Snake. He might actually consider going out there buying it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you know, it depends how much the Vegas trip takes.
Also, if you guys want to know something else, this wasn't big enough for news, but check out ShaneHelms.com. Apparently some beef between Buff Bagwell and him. Inside the forums, he has some testy comments for Buff.
Testy.
But enough of that. Let's get into the real show. Starting off with the number one story of our show. Injury bugs have hit wrestling.
Oh, no.
There has been numerous injuries to actually high-profile stars throughout WWE and TNA. We're going to name these people, discuss the impact of what it has on them, and move on from there.
All right, let's go.
The first person is Edge. Edge, as we all know, is caught up in the big storyline with Taboo Tuesday, has suffered a partial pec tear and will be out of action. No one really knows how it's going to affect his role in Taboo Tuesday, so we have to tune in on Monday to find out exactly what happens with that.
I wonder when they make an adjustment like TNA had to do with Kevin Nash. They have to readjust like the whole show.
I don't know, but the good news is that he will not need surgery.
Okay, so that means about like six weeks probably, huh?
I don't know. So he might be able just to talk and do that, but whatever. Moving on, another Taboo Tuesday participant, Kane, has suffered a very serious back injury.
Did he just come back?
Yes. Some say that it might even be a broken back.
Ooh.
He suffered the injury from the suplex, as if you remember from watching Raw, when Big Show suplexed him from the top rope. They're saying that the back could have been broken there.
Ooh.
It really sucks because he just came back.
Yeah, and Kane seemed like he was going to have such an impact again. When he always come back, he always has that impact of being evil Kane and unstoppable at the time.
I mean, he just won the Battle Royal.
He did? Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but
he
still
lost the triple threat match, though.
That's true. And everybody knows Shawn Michaels is going to be voting in, but how does this affect the tag team match that they were going to have at Taboo Tuesday?
Probably Big Show going to do more work than he probably wanted to do.
Also, on other end, TNA wasn't able to escape the injury bug either.
Ooh.
Two of the bigger tag teams in TNA suffered injuries to their members. Chase Stevens of the Naturals will be out 3 to 6 weeks, according to the doctors, but could be back sooner.
Well, can I say something about their injury?
What?
At least it doesn't affect them as much as the other injury, you're going to say, because, you know, the Dudley Boys can move in and swoop in for that spot because they just lost the titles and, you know, they had no momentum. So,
but he took an injury from a nasty head dive at one of the TNA tapings this past week. So hopefully he hears and get back. Naturals wasn't as predominant shown at the show. I mean, their first time being on TV was what, last week?
Yeah, they lost the title.
They lost the title, so I think they'll be okay in that aspect.
They can deal with the injury.
But I think the injury to James Storm of America's Most Wanted is going to be more impactful because of as the grand finale, which I refuse to call him for now, I'm going to call him Marcus, pointed out that the Dudleys and AMW have been in a huge feud.
And over the weeks.
He bruised his ribs when he got powerbombed on the ringside railings at Bound for Glory. Ooh. Didn't see it. Sounds very painful.
Did he break it?
No, it was just a bruised rib. But if you ever had a rib injury, any type of injury to your ribs hurts when you breathe. So he probably won't be out as long as Chase Stevens, Kane, or Edge. Yeah. But he's going to be impacted on his...
But the good thing about that is he is a tag wrestler. And, you know, you can get tagged in. You can substitute. You don't have to do as much work.
Exactly. I mean, you can be like Regal and Burchill.
Yeah, and Burchill gets beat up the whole match. And Regal gets in. We ain't talking about that more than in the SmackDown report.
All right, moving on with more TNA news. Jarrett meets with WWE. Not Jeff Jarrett, but Jeff Jarrett's father, Jerry Jarrett, one of the founders of TNA, met with WWE officials at WWE headquarters in Stamford, Connecticut. Jarrett has been reported to be unhappy with TNA, with his reduced role in TNA. But that's not the reason why he met with WWE. He is apparently the agent of a 6'6", 310-pound Russian wrestler named Oleg Prudeus. I probably did the name wrong, but damn it.
But it's foreign. That person gets foreign.
I think the most underlying thing, this guy is a 50% co-founder of TNA.
Ooh.
Why would you be bringing talent to the competition?
I don't know. Something dirty could go on here, and it can ruin TNA probably forever.
As we all know, Vince does like pulling the legs out of other federations, like he was trying to do with UFC and Mike Goldberg. So stay tuned for more information about Jarrett.
Jerry. The other double J.
Double J. Also, as we reported last episode, Kane was arrested.
It wasn't last episode.
It was last episode.
Like a few episodes ago.
No, it was last episode.
You sure?
Yeah, because we only did it a couple of days ago. He was arrested for resisting arrest and disorderly conduct. On his website, ChrisCanyon.net, he gives his side of the story. He states the incident that happened at the nightclub. He says that as he left the nightclub with his friends about 3 a.m. in the morning, he saw this guy being jumped by 5 individuals. He went to break up the fight. While he was breaking up the fight, the guy's girlfriend who was getting beat up comes over screaming and yelling at one of the guys who was whooping the guy's butt. Okay. She proceeded to hit the guy with her purse or slap him, and then that's when the guy punched her in the face. Okay. Chris Kahn felt that everyone seemed to turn on this guy, because he punched the girl, and I guess no one feels that way. And the guy decides to run. Chris Kahn chases him into another nightclub where they, I guess, get involved into another scuffle. The bouncers of the club that they ran into breaks up the fight and tells him to take it outside. So Kahn apparently has this guy by the foot and is trying to drag him outside. In a matter, somehow the guy breaks free and Kane gets the shoot and he goes outside the club.
Yeah.
When he goes outside the club, there's police around the scene and they're discussing the events that took place with the fight and how everybody's saying that Kane's the hero and Kane's trying to tell the officers that the guy's inside the club.
Yeah.
He can't get out. They need to go in there and get him. For some reason, the officers are not trying to get inside the club to get this guy. So Kane, there's no one better than Kahn.
Who's better than Kahn?
Decides that he's going to go back into the club to get this guy out. He's inside the club. Apparently, he can't find the guy. When he comes back out, the police are arresting him. And he's saying that they use unnecessary force against him.
Knee in the back, right?
No, knee into his face with the full weight. Anyway, Kahn's arrested, and they finally get the guy that punched the lady in the face. Apparently, on the ride to the station, though, Chris Kahn also states that somehow the guy was connected to the Miami Dolphins, and the police freed him without even going to the station.
Dirt. That's NFL dirt right there.
That's NFL dirt. As he gets to the station, Kane's not treated with respect. He's thrown into a holding cell with four drunk criminals or something like that. Anyway, his story sounds like that. He was being a good Samaritan, but he's paying the price.
Yeah, but Eric, who's better than Kane?
Apparently, the Miami Dolphin guy. So that's the Chris Kane update. If you want to read the story for a better, you know, feel of it, go to chriskane.net. And you can read his what he says about it.
Is Kane even working right now?
He's working on the independent scene. Actually, he has an independent show, which I kind of feel is nice. I would plug it, but I didn't write down notes. But he's doing it up north in the San Francisco area. They're doing a wrestling show to support all the hurricane victims.
Oh, okay.
And he's also on the independent circuit. So, Kane is out there. It would be nice to see him back in wrestling. He was a funny character.
Funny character.
I mean, who's better than Kane?
Mortis.
Anyway. All right, moving on to the next story. Now, as you all know, on Raw this past week, they announced the matches for Taboo Tuesday.
Apparently,
there has been another match announced. For those who don't watch the Velocity on the internet or Heat on the internet, Rob Conway has been in a heated feud with legends of late.
Pretty much the Randy Orton gimmick.
Yeah, pretty much. But the difference is that Eugene is now involved. So because of this, they have announced a new Taboo Tuesday match where it places Rob Conway versus Eugene and a legend of the fans' choice. The legends that we have the choice to vote for are Jimmy Superfly Snuka, as we believe was trying to buy some stuff from Mae Young. Hacksaw Hole, Jim Duggan.
Where's my 2x4?
And Kamala. First of all, no one wants to see Kamala. So,
God, that hurts.
For, as you know, Marcus and also the Boo Boo Baron backstage has been clamoring for Hacksaw to get in the ring. Why, I do not know.
Hacksaw bit Hole, his bull charge, and the thumbs up, and the 2x4.
Would you say that Hacksaw was more of an American hero than Hulk Hogan?
No, because Hulk Hogan had the music.
Okay.
I don't remember Hacksaw's music.
All right, people, we have two more stories, and then we'll be going to the SmackDown report. There's no more Hebners in WWE.
Oh, no.
Brian Hebner, son of
good old Earl.
Earl Hebner, has been fired by the WWE. Apparently, he has had issues since his daddy and his uncle has been fired by WWE.
Wouldn't you have issues?
Yeah, they fired
daddy and your uncle and left you there. And I think they suspended him for some time, too. And they just left him there.
And it's like, but then the thing is, you act like you ain't going to talk to your father. And so your father ain't going, why you still working for those people? Them, and some dirty people and all that.
But daddy, that's a good job. They fired me and my twin brother. Now, you do quit.
Marcus, what do you think the chances of TNA bringing in the Hammers?
I don't know.
Because you know.
I don't even recognize TNA referees. I don't even know they have
them. Do they even have referees?
Yeah, they do.
They do, don't they?
Yeah, but I never really pay attention to them. They never even get their names mentioned.
But, you know, like, Earl more than Dave were actually characters in wrestling. I mean,
Earl was like a Hall of Famer.
Earl was part of the controversy, Bret Hart, You Screwed Me match.
He had a few little scuffles with Steve Austin. He had two or three strikes in the company. And, you know, he was tough.
Okay.
Oh, man.
And the last story is that, as you all know, that WWE has been giving out Legends contracts. Sabu has reportedly signed a WWE Legends contract, which means they will produce a action figure of Sabu. My question is, does this Legend contract make you wrestle? Because I know a lot of the other Legends who have this so-called Legend contract have been wrestling a lot.
Yeah, except for, like, DB. He's too fat and old, but...
But DB, his son is wrestling, so people are saying that he's going to be a
manager,
like a manager or something like that. Yeah, something like that. I have never seen pictures of their son, so I don't know.
I don't know, but his son is being trained by Harley Race. I read somewhere.
Harley Race, old freaking Race. Yep. Well, anyway, that's
Isn't that Ryan's boy? No. That's Billy Graham.
Yeah, that's Billy Graham. Anyway, so that's been the news. Ooh, I forgot. Anyway, check out our website. TheSharpshooters.blogspot.com. Email, TheSharpshooters@gmail.com. And don't forget to vote in the poll.
Which will be released when the Bret Hart DVD.
Yep, when the Bret Hart DVD is released.
Although, we know Jake was coming out.
I just want everybody to know, we have 16 votes in there right now.
That's not looking for 17.
17? Well, as of right now, though, Steve Austin is in the lead. So if you guys want to vote for Hogan, The Rock, Kurt Angle, please vote for Kurt Angle. Triple H to have their next DVD review. We're not saying that it's going to impact the decision of WWE, But hey, still nice to get it out there. What do the fans want to see?
I want to see Stone Cold go crazy.
I want to see Kurt Angle.
You would.
All right.
And so, it's not time yet.
That's enough for the news. We'll be back with the SmackDown report. Attack on the sunrise. Cause in your eyes, you see too much of me. Advise me, can't bring me down to your size. Short skills lack replies. Every time your head goes on. And if that a reason for me, you could move on. WWE SmackDown. Well, WWE Friday Night SmackDown, October 28th, from San Francisco, California. The Cow Powers. Move! Honestly, I have to say, for the first time in a while, SmackDown was so much better than Raw.
You know, for the first time, I haven't gave a grade in a while. And honestly, this is going to be the first B-plus I've ever given.
A B-plus? Wow.
A B-plus.
Scoot back in front of the mic.
All right.
The show, of course, started off with a Taboo Tuesday plug.
Uh-huh.
It started off with the Peep Show, which was actually quite entertaining. The actual guest of the Peep Show was actually Rey Mysterio. Of course, it didn't stay that way. Because after Rey Mysterio came out, who they kept interrupting Christian, unfortunately, he was interrupted by Matt Hardy.
Yep.
They were all Matt responding Hardy. To the shots that Edge took out. Voted. Yes. Matt specified that the internet fans are the reason why he's back in wrestling right now, which is so true, unless there was some kind of hidden deal with Vince. And
yeah, anyway, that's beside the point. They kept it under wraps in the net, and then they hit it, and you had to go fish it out and get it later.
Yeah.
It was a conspiracy.
And then, you know, Rey Mysterio was talking about how he, you know, took matters in his own hands.
Yeah, how he kicked 619 Lita, which sounds awful if you get
the whore. Yeah. Then next time, Marcus favorite wrestler in the business, Hardcore Holly comes out, talking about, yeah, the internet fans might vote for you, but where were you when we went down here and attacked SmackDown? Raw.
When did he become the general of SmackDown?
I don't know. He claims that because he fought them that he should be voted in. Who really wants to see Hardcore Holly?
When did he become the leader of SmackDown's union or something?
Well, I forgot. There is one person that wants to see Hardcore Holly in the match.
That's Michael Cole.
That's Michael Cole. God knows why.
Well, he's a big fan.
Yeah. The next person would have to probably be my favorite person coming out was JBL.
The wrestling god.
I mean, he came in with some cool one-liners with Matt Hardy, the Wombalance.
The Wombalance. I don't know.
It was funny.
It wasn't the funniest, but it was okay.
It was funny. Then he talked about
Christian's TV show.
He wasn't talking. Well, he plugged his show.
Yeah.
Then, I don't know what shows he was talking about, but he plugged something.
He had some shows and some articles for some websites.
Business shows. No, he talked about Rey Mysterio being from the 619, being hometown. Why should he be voted in?
Yes.
And then he talked about Hardcore, because you came down here and fought the Raw guys, you should be voting in. And pretty much he threw his head in the basket about being voted in for Taboo Tuesday.
And then Christian
decides to come in. And then right before that happens, he's interrupted by the GM, Teddy Long.
And the grand thing was his reaction. He just sat down.
It was hilarious. Teddy Long came out. He was like, yes, you know, he appreciated what they did for SmackDown and all that good stuff. And decided that, you know what, the fans need to see you guys in action. And, you know, of course, I thought this could have been the main event when he announced this match. But SmackDown does one thing smarter than Raw. The champions in the main event.
They do that on SmackDown. I'll be on Raw. John Cena's in the main event.
Okay, well, maybe
recently,
this week.
Whatever. He's been in the main event.
But SmackDown's been consistent. So anyway, he announces the Friday night free-for-all with five contestants.
Being the winner, first person to get a pinfall or a submission wins the match.
So they go to commercial break. When they come back, all the competitors are in the ring. This was a heck of a match.
This was pretty good. They had it real planned out.
The match started off with Matt Hardy and Rey Mysterio jumping Christian.
Yeah.
God knows why. Then it went to Hardcore Holly versus JBL.
Well, before that, Hardcore got beat up outside the ring by JBL.
Yeah, that was great. And then it was Christian and Hardy. It was just they did a lot of things.
You feel
in
like
it.
Nobody was missing in the match. Yeah, although there was five of them.
Everybody got their shine. They did a move in there that I'm going to call it the Super Five-Man Plex Bomb, because what happened is the Plex Bomb, yes. I have dubbed it the Plex Bomb.
The Super High-Man Plex Bomb?
The Super Five-Man Plex Bomb.
Okay.
Because what happened is, it was Christian and Rey Mysterio and Matt Hardy in the ring. They were going to superplex
Christian.
I mean, Rey Mysterio and Matt Hardy was going to superplex Christian. Decided, JBL gets up, decides that he's going to powerbomb Rey Mysterio. And I guess Hardcore Holly was going for the same thing, but it just looked like he put one arm. Anyway,
like he put his ass
the move went
legs.
Through, got a huge pop by the fans. Uh-huh. Nice move. It could have been better, but it was still nice and all.
Yeah.
I was tired of seeing Christian getting picked, though.
He got jumped the whole night.
Also, another good aspect of the match, every wrestler got a chance to show their finishing move.
Well,
you got the Bama Slam. You got the 619.
Yeah.
You got the Twist of Fate.
Yeah.
You got the Unprettier.
Okay.
And you got the Clothesline for Hell, which I think
when was... he missed, it was for Rey Mysterio.
But he missed and he got
Hardcore
Holly, which made everybody feel good. Overall, it was a great match, except to the ending happened where Rey Mysterio pins Christian with a Hurricanrana. Why is they doing this to Christian? Who did Christian piss off in wrestling to put him to SmackDown? He was such a big star.
Yeah, he was lined up to be number one contender on Raw against John Cena, which they were hyping up for months. And now
he's
probably won't even get voted for Taboo Tuesday.
Yeah, you know, he's going to finish last.
And they also at the end hinted that Rey Mysterio, they wanted the fans to vote for Rey Mysterio and Matt Hardy by them teaming up on through to beat up Christian. And by them in the end shaking hands after what you call him gets the pinfall.
I actually feel that they weren't showing no biasness towards the people that they were going.
They were showing. If you looked at the match, the way Mysterio and Hardy was teaming up, and at the end they shook hands, like, you know, good job for getting the pin on Christian. And I think they did something.
Okay,
that.
But Michael Cole expressed his thing. Taz expressed his opinion. Moving on to the next match. The next match actually was not a match. They cut to a backstage segment with Booger T and Charmel standing in front of Teddy Long's general manager office because apparently Teddy Long needed to show him something or talk to him about that. Charmel was trying to act like he was there to congratulate Booker T, but we all know. Go ahead, Marcus.
No, I had nothing to say.
I was going to say, Charmel has actually improved a lot with her character, showing that she's the deceitful, conniving, gold-digging biddy that she can be.
Ooh. Why don't you just couldn't say Jezebel?
Jezebel, because we can't have no JR references on SmackDown.
Oh.
So anyway, they go inside the office. SmackDown goes to commercial. When they come back, you know how we was talking about why wrestlers can't look at an instant replay? Yeah. Well, I just figured out why. Because the general manager has the truck crew put together a great segment of the wrongs that Charmel did.
Yeah, but the problem was with his video. He showed Chris Benoit break his back on the table, you know, that happened last week in the match. Like, 8 times at 8 different angles. I'm like, you're supposed to show the footage of Charmel cheating.
I mean, yeah, he showed a 2-minute video, which what needed to be shown could have been shown in 3 seconds. But overall, the cool part of the whole thing backstage is that all three of these people have really strong chemistry with each other. Maybe because they're all black. I don't know. That could be a reason. Oh. But Charmel being spiteful, then Booker T stepping up being a man. Shut up, woman.
Yeah, you know, I wear the pants, you know.
Yeah, we need to.
Although, I think she wear more pants than he does.
Yeah, he does. And Teddy Long talking about, I appreciate that plan.
Yeah. You know,
it's like, keep your woman in check. So, after Booker T sees the tape, he's saying that we need to you know, rectify the situation.
Yeah.
So he's saying that Charmel's going to apologize and he's going to go out to the ring and give Benoit the rematch that he deserves. Pretty good segment.
Yeah. It really set up what was going to happen later.
And after that, they didn't go to commercial. They showed Piper walking in and Piper passes by
Piper.
Paul London,
Spanky, and Funaki with a Hot Rod shirt.
Why was the number one SmackDown announcer wearing the Hot Rod shirt?
I don't know why. I don't know. Of all people, because I don't believe in his. Well, you know, Piper's worldwide famous, I think.
Anyway, so then he's confronted by the Orton. Cowboy Bob Orton.
Yeah, but here's the question. Is Piper really this short? Or is,
I don't know.
Is Bob Orton really that big?
I don't know. Well, Bob Orton looked big, but then Randy Orton even looked huge. I mean, I think the best thing about this is that Piper was talking about the evolution line of the Ortons.
Yeah.
How that he remembered wrestling Cowboy Bob Orton's father. He was big, strong, and smart.
Uh-huh.
Then something happened where now they're just big, strong, and well, before he could say what he was going to say to Orton.
No, the thing is, but, you know, he said Bob Orton was big and strong.
But he got
Randy Orton was just big.
Yeah. But the best line was that, man, I don't know what's wrong with the Evolution about this. Next thing you know, they're going to be big, strong, and walking on all fours. Which I thought was a priceless Piper line. Mm-hmm. And it was a good segment. And then they went to commercial. Again. No, actually, yeah, they went to commercial. Or did they go back to...
It went to commercial.
Okay, went to commercial. Then was... No, actually, it did not go to commercial. Know why? Because they showed Simon Dean backstage on his Segway, and he was confronted by Short Sleeve Samson. Yes, I know the names. I took great notes.
Good job.
About a toe.
Who is a midget, by the way?
Yeah.
A little person, dwarf.
Whatever they want to call themselves. Anyway, pretty much it was a segment of Simon Dean taking shots at the little people.
Yeah.
And they played a stunt on him where they clipped a hook to his Segway and they yanked it and he fell over.
Yeah.
My question is, who does Simon Dean piss off so bad that he has to now job to the junior division?
Yeah.
Well, what this ensued to after the commercial break was the juniors match. It was Short Sleeve Samson versus Pitbull Patterson.
And now this is the reason the show didn't get an A for me.
Only thing that I'm going to talk, I'm not going to talk about the match.
It's
a typical
gimmick
match. I guess we're going to call it juniors division match or midget match where it's comedy involved with the referee. Pitbull Patterson had a bucket of confetti that he threw on the crowd. Then he had another bucket that he threw on a network on accident.
And
Simon Dean got jumped. That's all you really need to know about this match.
Samson won.
Oh, yeah. No, Short Sleeve Samson did win.
Yeah.
Like I said.
Who did he fight?
Pitbull Patterson. I said that already, man.
I didn't know.
See, that's how much Marcus cared about this match. He don't even care about me reviewing the match.
Yeah, the match. That was boring.
I think what happened, the most important thing that happened after this match is when the match ended, they cut backstage to Booker T and Charmel. And she's still talking about she refuses to apologize to Benoit. And
she's pleading with him not to go out there.
And he said, woman, you're going to do it. And they show him walking out backstage.
It is commercial break.
Commercial break. And they come back. And Booker T is in the ring.
Yep.
And he calls out Chris Benoit.
Yeah, he gives a long speech on how he needs to do this.
And
Chris Benoit's being all humble. Oh, no, Booker, please. Don't apologize.
And Marcus was just so ready for this because he was like, do it, woman, to Charmel to make her apologize. And she gives us, I apologize that you didn't win. But then she started taking shots at Booker T.
Yeah.
It's like, I apologize that I helped my man win the belt. I apologize that I felt that my man deserves this. Pretty much she's trying to put the guilt trip on Booker T, talking about that it's not her fault that she was just trying to help him out.
And then
she walks out the ring.
No.
Wait.
She slaps him.
She slaps Booker T.
She slaps him and said he less of a man.
Yeah, and we was like, wow. Because we were sitting here watching. It's like, man, we was expecting them to turn her to turn on him. But like this?
Like this just right here?
And so we thought we was rid with Charmel. And then all of a sudden, as they show her walking up the ramp.
She has another bike. Oh, she never dropped it.
She didn't have enough. I don't know
what happened. She didn't drop it.
Oh.
She said, oh, yeah. One more thing, Chris. I would like to apologize for this.
And then Booker T hits Chris Benoit with the belt.
And Chris Benoit starts bleeding. And then Booker T's beating the hell out of Chris Benoit. A shock of all shocks.
The thing is, we shouldn't be shocked. The professional wrestlers that we are.
We're not professional.
The professional watchers that we are. But the Jezebel fooled us.
I was shocked. I didn't see Booker T, you know, just becoming a bad guy that quick. I figured that either she was going to bring out another wrestler to beat up on Booker T or Benoit, but I was shocked.
Even though I know Eric Bischoff has no control because he's just a GM on TV, I just hope he's taking notes of how they're making it seem that Tae Long is promoting the U.S. title because if it's just me, but isn't the Intercontinental Championship not nothing anymore?
It's just missing. Ric Flair has it. And he doesn't even come out with it.
But I mean, there's so many mid-card wrestlers on Raw that this belt could be used for. You have your Shelton Benjamins. Yep. You have the Big Show. Why can't he be the Intercontinental
and
champion?
And here's another question. Why not have Flair defend the Intercontinental title against Triple H? And give him more prestige. Triple H doesn't have to want it. He can just have it. Kind of like Benoit. Benoit was former heavyweight champion.
That's true.
I mean, Booker T was former five-time WCW champion.
I mean, it's just like you have an Intercontinental Championship championship belt, but no one cares about it. Yeah. So hopefully after Taboo Tuesday, they put more focus on this belt.
Because there's a lot of well-deserved Intercontinental Champions. I can even say Curran White's well-deserved.
Curran White?
Shelton?
Rob Conway, the Legend Killer?
Nah, I don't know so much.
Look at me.
His talent is as big as his entrance.
It was still just the point that you have a good amount of mid-carders. Yeah. That could do it. I mean, okay, why can't he be Intercontinental Championship? Well, his back is broke.
Yeah.
Big Show. I mean, right now, you need to focus.
Carlito.
I mean, you just own Carlito now because he has a knockout, you think.
I think. It might be that swing at that
crazy. I mean, yes, Edge has to be in the heavyweight contention because he has money in the bank. Yes, Kurt Angle has to be there. Yes, John Cena has to be there.
But that was the beauty of wrestling back in, like, the DX days. They had multiple belts. They had all of them at one point.
Yes, yes. But Triple H has to be there, too. Because eventually, you know Triple H is going to go after the belt.
Yeah, of course. You know, it's typical Triple H.
I would prefer Triple H to go after the belt with Kurt Angle having the belt than John Cena. But
yeah, they can have
from what I
matches.
Understand, Vince is really big on John Cena.
And this is not a Raw show. We're talking about Raw.
I'm just talking about the Intercontinental belt.
Okay,
so let's get back to the show.
Big T turns on Benoit, beats him into a bloody pulp in the ring. And everybody's like, why?
Why? We all know why. The power of the... Well, you got it. It starts with a P and ends with a Y.
He's whipped.
Hey. Anyway, so the next match was a Fatal 4-Way Tag Match. I was actually concerned about this match because any match that the new Legion of Disgrace that are involved in, I am nervous. But actually, this was a very good match.
Like Adam will go have a heart attack.
I don't know.
Oh, my heart.
Anyway, the match is Eminem, Legion of Doom, Mexicools, Psychosis and Super Crazy, Regal and Burchill, and a Fatal 4-Way Tag Match for the Tag Team Championship. Once again, another championship match on SmackDown.
And a championship match of importance. And on this SmackDown, they prove that SmackDown has something that Raw doesn't have.
A tag team division
that is deep. There are so many tag teams.
I mean, the thing is, it's Kayden Murdoch, and then who else? With Hurricane
becoming
Gregory. Are there any other tag teams now?
Well, no.
Yes.
There's Val Venus and Vincent, who did beat Kayden Murdoch in a singles match a while ago.
Okay, you have two tag teams compared to, we have five tag teams on SmackDown. We have five.
You sure it's five?
Yeah, because you have Eminem, LOD, Mexicools, Regal and Burchill, and then you have
those other guys.
Chad and
the Muscle Twins.
We still don't know what their name is. The Muscle Twins. The Muscle Midgets. Anyway, this was an excellent match. For the first time, I saw Johnny Nitro actually get inside the ring.
And before.
He was performing. True, he was getting beat up, but he was still there.
Bob, the highlight for me in the match.
Wait, hold on. Okay. Before we get to your highlight, because I know what your highlight is. The Mexicools did a really nice move, actually, on Johnny Nitro, where they went on, like, they were individual leg locks, and then they flipped him over somewhere, which was great.
They do that numerous week. They did before.
Well, but you see, nice. You watched the Velocity and the Heat. So
no,
you...
it wasn't no Velocity and Heat. It was on SmackDown a while ago.
Well, let's get to Marcus' favorite part, the ruthless aggressionist, the ruthless aggression of Burchill and Regal.
They were angry for no reason.
They were trying to get into the match.
People would not let Regal. Michael Cole was pointing out Regal trying to get a blind tag, just misses. Burchill misses another blind tag. And finally, they get tagged in. They won't tag nobody else. They're just angry. They get mad at the referee over Lil'
Finally thing. Get in the ring. And then, I mean, really, tell you the truth.
Oh, they were in the ring when I was saying it.
I don't. But they were really energetic. True, Regal can't do much work.
Quick tags by Regal.
But when he got in there, looked like he had a purpose. And yeah. Burchill, when he was in there, he had a purpose till he started getting beat up.
He slowed down the pace.
I mean, because at first the match was really fast-paced. Then when they got involved, it slowed it down. It was a well-paced match.
Yeah.
Then, of course, Heidenreich got in and with his little punches. And that's when the Muscle Twins came out. True, that's not their name, but we don't know their name yet. They interfered with Animal, which distracted Heidenreich, and he got the snapshot from M&M. And they are the new tag team champions. What's nice about this, they seem elated to have the belts.
Yes.
And Melina.
She was like, oh, thank God.
But now they can do their intros when they hang their belts in a disrespecting manner and come out to the ring.
Melina plays with it.
Which, I'm so happy now that LOD is not the champion because maybe now they can, phase them out. You know what? I didn't realize this, but you notice this. Look, Eminem came out with Melina. Uh-huh. The Mexicos came out with Psychosis. Of course, the Hoover too. Rigoberto don't have nobody. What happened to Christy Hemme?
You know, I have no. Maybe she was filming VIP girls again.
I don't know, but I just realized that she wasn't there. So
I didn't realize that until now. You know,
I mean, it's no loss, but still, she was supposed to be a part of LOD.
Yeah, but maybe they didn't want too many people on the ringside. Lumberjack match.
Well, after Eminem won the match, they cut backstage to Nuzio and Big Vito talking to Teddy Long. They apparently,
which is another tag.
that is six. You're
six,
right.
Yeah, I told you.
Apparently, they are demanding a tag team title shot. Tell me, why do they have any right to have a tag team title shot? I do not know.
How the heck are they in Teddy Long's office without him inviting them?
Yeah, but the thing is, though, Teddy Long agreed with us and said, "You guys can't even beat Bobby Lashley."
Well, Nuzio's 90 pounds and Lashley's like 400 pounds of pure muscle.
And I guess you put Nuzio and Vito together, they still don't equal.
They equal about 280.
So anyway, what Teddy Long does is put them in a handicap match against Bobby Lashley. Now, of course, I say this would not be fair for Lashley, but. It's Nuzio.
Nuzio weighs about a toothpick size.
So, what can you say?
Like Razor
Ramon. But I think the most coolest thing about this whole backstage thing is that the Boogeyman was there again. And can I say, I'm enjoyed by the Boogeyman, but I'm also somewhat disturbed, too. I think the whole thing of him having no teeth really messes me up.
And him hit the head over the head with a clock and Teddy Long's reaction like, oh, God.
Yeah. Oh. I think what sells the Boogeyman
more.
What
is he opening that door?
I mean, I would think it'd be funny if next week on SmackDown, they show him looking for another door, trying to go out. And, well, you know, the Boogeyman is there, too. It's like, for some reason, it's like the Boogeyman is after Teddy Long for some reason. I don't know. But it's funny. Because Teddy Long makes the Boogeyman seem more impressive than he really is.
Maybe Teddy Long didn't go to sleep at his bedtime and the Boogeyman's after him.
I don't know. I just...
I love the clock.
I do like the clocks. So after that, they cut backstage and they show Batista and Eddie Guerrero talking. And Batista's giving Eddie credit about, hey, man, thanks for being there to save me. And, you know, Eddie's talking about, I know you wasn't able to see Kennedy, sneak up behind you, so I had to do it. I mean, I have to say one thing about Eddie Guerrero. I don't even see tag teams trying to take shots for their tag team. No. Most people would let Batista take the chair shot, just broke up the count.
Yeah.
Oh, back to the tag team match real quick.
What?
One thing I did like about the way that Eminem won is that when Mercury pinned, Nitro was for covering the ring.
Yeah, he was like, I got you.
You're not going to break up the count. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that happened well. Wait a minute, Batista.
Back to Batista and Eddie.
Batista buys Eddie
a new lowrider.
And it was nice. It was my color. It was green.
It was green. It was nice. It was a nice track shirt. And they went to commercial.
Yep.
They came back.
Orton's and
Kennedy comes out to the ring.
Kennedy.
We're not going to give the Kennedy interest because he's sick, and plus it was a tag team match. He's still picking on Chimmel. Why? We do not know.
I like how he points at Chimmel, though. It's like, you better not. They got to have a match.
It's like, Chimmel, get out the ring, you punk. So he kicks him out the ring, and, well, here comes Batista and Eddie Guerrero, and it is funny because they look like they're really good friends, and it's hard for me because we know that Eddie's going to turn over to...
I'm converted into believing this is a newfound Eddie Guerrero.
But while me and Marcus were discussing the show, I said, wouldn't it be a great swerve if Batista is the one that turns on Eddie?
Because that's dealing with evolution.
But, I mean, that is not going to happen because, you know, Batista is the baby face. Uh-huh. But what if?
Yeah, but here's the key, though, about the entrance they had. Eddie Guerrero came out with his old music, before he
slowed it. Cheat. It's a, pretty
much...
He
slowed it down.
Pretty much with the Guerreros and stuff, like what the girls used to come out.
Los Guerreros.
The cool thing is that they also was in the lowrider, and Batista's like, hit the switches. And so, first, Eddie is hitting the switches lightly and all that. They hit this one switch, and I swear to God, I know Batista fell on top of Eddie Guerrero. They doesn't have the camera in the right place. So, the fans of San Francisco had a treat. They probably saw Batista, because when they got back up and they fixed it, Batista laughing his butt off and all that good stuff. And so they finally get into the ring.
But before he get in the ring, why does Batista have to run up the stairs like
that? What is with Batista's entrance with him doing his moves? I mean, I wish if this was a video podcast, you can see how animated me and Mark is.
Yeah,
but we're not going to try to do video because y'all don't need to see us.
We're faces for podcasts.
Yeah, so anyway, so they get in the ring and then the bagpipes hit. And here come Roddy Piper. Now, I must say, Roddy Piper in the kilt, the hot rod, and the leather jacket looks perfectly fine.
Did he come up with the leather jacket?
He came off with the leather jacket. When he takes it off,
yeah,
he looks like an old man.
It's bad.
I mean,
he is so out of shape. Why can't he wrestle with the kilt and the shirt on?
He's more solid than Ric Flair and all the people, but damn, his legs are scrawny.
Now, is he more solid than JBL, who's getting fatter by the week?
I don't know. JBL got breasts now.
Yeah.
He don't have breasts, but
they breasts.
One thing about, no, I'm talking about Piper. One thing Piper needs to really do is hit the tan. He needs to get tan. I mean, I don't understand.
He was pale.
It was bad. But his appearance might have been bad, but the match was actually really,
it was good.
True, as we all know, Cowboy Orton wasn't going to fight.
He didn't come out wrestling gear.
Yeah, he was in his
cowboy hat and his suit.
Pretty much.
Bob Orton.
Pretty much the majority of the match was Randy Orton beat up on Piper.
And Randy Orton fought Batista, yeah.
Yeah, but it was, the most I remember is that Randy Orton was whooping
Piper's
butt.
Tag.
So they got the tag in.
What was the tag in? That was just his biggest blush. They just ran in.
They ran into the ring. And next thing you know.
Yeah, Spinebusters.
And
frog splashes.
And then Roddy Piper slaps a sleeper hold on Cowboy Bob Orton. And
who's ever lost to a sleeper hold?
I don't know.
Since Piper, I'm like, man, a sleeper hold.
Actually, not since Piper, since Brutus Beefcake. Beefcake, I think, made the sleeper hold more popular than Piper, personally.
I don't know.
Remember, Piper move actually was the punches, but besides
it was more of a sleeper to me.
Anyway, it was a really good match.
Ended with them raising hands and two guys in shape and one guy that's really out of shape and old.
I think what's going to happen with the Eddie and Batista storyline is that I think Eddie's going to have to turn on Batista before Survivor Series. And then that way, you know, it'll be like Eddie and Orton's versus Batista then with a mystery partner. And that mystery partner probably would be The Undertaker. I mean, because you know The Undertaker has to come back. And why not come back in a tag match? And can you imagine Undertaker and Batista teamed up.
But who would be their partner at Survivor Series?
Marcus. What Undertaker? No, it'd probably just be a regular tag match.
Excuse me.
What Undertaker and Batista? Does it matter if they had two more partners?
I don't know. No.
It really doesn't.
Incredible team.
I mean, you could have the Druids get in. Wouldn't that be great?
But the Druids come
in. And they were fighting like Undertaker was just saying, "Hey, here and here and all that." Okay. What you gonna say?
I liked your story angle better if Batista would turn on Guerrero. That'd be cool. I wouldn't see that coming. Even if you said it,
it's hard to fathom.
It's like, whoa.
Because all I have to say, Batista, they are selling the friendship angle. It's like you waiting for Eddie to turn. And Eddie's not even giving us the dirty looks no more. That's what's the scary part.
He's not even doing the little, should I hit him? Nah.
But, I mean, when you saw Ken Kitty question hitting him with the chair, it put that little doubt there. Not enough doubt. But a little doubt.
Yeah, but he didn't really question it. He just looked like, what are you doing?
So even though we don't really do the grades no more, Marcus gives it a B+, I'm giving it an A. The midgets, the midgets are just there.
They were bad, man. I booed them. They got boring chests.
But
digitally ticked out, seems like.
Yeah, I think they added some oohs and all that good stuff. But the thing that made the show was, I have to say, the high spots of the show, Booker T and Charmel. Great segments. You know, it was a cool thing. They didn't fight. Well, the thing was, they set it up really. And we already know that Benoit and Booker T can have good matches. So,
yeah.
In a pay-per-view, how about we put them in a cage or something? Something. Let's put Charmel in a cage over the ring or something like that. Let's do something like that. Also, the tag team belts, important.
You know what they should do with Booker T, though? They should make him go 2-3 again.
You want the best of seven?
I liked it that
way. Why not? Let's do it again.
Repeat. That was great.
Let's do it again.
All right, anyway.
I like it. Then also the tag team belts. Very important.
Important now.
I mean, we actually have real tag team wrestling where there are teams. True, I don't know if the Mexicos are a team, but
yeah,
I think that.
Team.
You think they're?
They're a team.
Oh, okay. They're a team. Also, they promoted Taboo Tuesday the right way. Only at the beginning of the show.
Because it's not their major pay-per-view.
That's true.
It's just a Raw pay-per-view.
But the point is, they did it right.
Uh-huh.
Michael Cole said that he liked Hardy and Hardcore, which makes no sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and Cole said he likes JBL and Ray. Yeah. Who will win? We don't know.
I'm going for Christian. and Hardy. That's who I want.
I wish we would find out the real names of the Muscle Twins, because they mentioned their name briefly, but not enough.
Oh, man, we got to hurry this up.
No, man. We thought it was going to be a short show. It's not. Well, anyway, that was the SmackDown Report. You see that we like SmackDown this week. So we'll be right back with our top five stables or factions or whatever you want to call them.
Groups.
All right, we'll be back.
It's on. Live loud and long. Take it up and I'll move with this song.
It's sharpshooters?
The sharpshooters.
You call it the tarpshooters.
Okay, the sharpshooters. Sorry.
The tarpshooters.
Anyway, seem to be that the top five is one of our most popular segments. I was actually considering cutting it out of this episode because of our vacation. We need to really get prepared and get all the money and all that, brothers. Anyway.
Yeah, and all that other stuff.
All that good stuff. But Marcus convinced me that we should do the top five. Just let all the fans know we are working on the top five that were suggested by our listeners, and they will be coming in the soon weeks.
Yeah.
But right now, we decided to do the top five factions, groups, or organizations that have been involved in the wrestling story.
Now, this means three or more, not tag teams, not two.
Three or more in the faction.
Three or more wrestlers. Now, you can't count the manager, you know.
All right. So, we're going to start off with our number one.
Number five, man.
Where am I at? Okay.
I don't know. You number play five. The number five
is the Nation of Domination.
We are the Nation of Domination.
I think even when it was just Farouk, D-Lo, and Kama Mustafa, they were entertaining. Well, actually, it started off with Ron Simmons, D-Lo, and The Rock.
The Rock wasn't even in the starting one.
He wasn't?
No, it was the starting one was Ron Simmons and, you know, Farouk. D-Lo Brown. A lot of other goons.
Ahmed Johnson.
He wasn't in the Nation. He fought the Nation. Come on.
Yeah, he fought the Nation. But remember, he joined the Nation for that one time.
Yeah,
then they jumped
him out. Yes.
But I think the most promising part of the Nation was when The Rock joined. Yeah. And when it was...
He made him bigger and blacker, as Farouk said.
Yeah. The thing... also, it was kind of funny when Owen Hart joined. But that was under The Rock. That was under The Rock regime. But the best part was The Rock, because he broke when The Rock up. There... People don't really know, but this is what really started The Rock career.
He broke him up.
The gift given.
gave everybody these nice gold Rolexes and gave Farouk a picture of himself.
In a frame. That was priceless. So our number five is the Nation of Domination. Yeah. I really, you know what? Maybe we should email WWE and say they should make a DVD with all the best factions with stuff like that.
Nah.
Anyway, our number four. Let me get through all the names. The Ministry, the Corporate Ministry, the Corporation.
And the Ministry of Darkness.
And the Ministry of Darkness.
They have so many names that the reason they're number four is because we can cheat a little bit.
And because they're all combined. The Undertaker had probably one of the strongest factions ever. True, the Undertaker never needed the faction, but he had the Brood in there, which was Gangrel, Edge, and Christian. He whipped Christian.
Yeah, that was great.
He had Phineas Godwin, or
Midian.
Midian. Who he killed. I think he sacrificed him.
Yeah, but he kept him in the group.
But
that's how he got him in.
I think the best part, though.
He had Viscerous. It
don't matter about Viscerous.
Big Vince, man.
Big Vince, he's a sex machine now. I think the strongest story that they had was when they kidnapped Stephanie McMahon and they crucified her on the Undertaker cross and all
that.
They
sacrificed.
They sacrificed her. And the best thing, they were going to reveal the new leader.
The Great Apocalypse.
It was Vince. And I was like, wow, this is Vince. So the Ministry, the Corporate Ministry.
They had Shane McMahon, who was having hell fight matches. He needed a DVD, honestly. I mean, he had some great matches with Steve Blackman.
Well, you know what they can do? They can make the McMahon's DVD. But you know what I mean. Because he didn't have enough matches for it.
Yeah.
But
The
number one. Hey, couldn't we have considered the McMahons to be a faction?
No, that's why we put the Corporate Ministry. To mold them all in one.
So, number four. So, our number three. It's more reason because they kind of started the whole faction thing. If it wasn't for them, it might not even be groups. And we can't put them number one because they're not our favorite. And we wasn't going to put them number five because they don't belong at number five. It's Woo! Not just one. Not just two. Not just three. But four horsemen.
Woo! Starring Mongo McMichael. That's Mongo. The funniest thing. Whenever I think of the four horsemen, I picture Mongo, one of my least favorite wrestlers of all time, holding up four when the four horsemen was broken up.
He did that recently. When he had his little short-lived career.
Hey, he was a former Green Bay Packer.
It doesn't matter. He was Mongo McMichael. He couldn't let the four horsemen go. I mean, the four horsemen started all the way back with Arn and Telly, Rick and Gordon.
Yeah.
I mean,
Double A.
I mean, my favorite was when they had, it was Benoit, Malenko, Arn Anderson, and Ric Flair. That was my favorite four horsemen.
They were cool, man.
The four horsemen, they styled, they profiled.
They could wrestle, all of them.
They all could wrestle. They all could cut promos, except for Benoit wasn't that great.
They all won major titles, except for Malenko.
He was a light cruiserweight and all that stuff. But, I mean, Malenko was a little guy. He was a good ring technician. That's why he's working with WWE.
Man of 1,000 Holes.
Yeah, so I like Dean Malenko. I missed him. He's 1,000 Holes. That's the godfather, man. Anyway, so we really like the Four Horsemen. You can't get the Four Horsemen of Apocalypse. And it's crazy how they got the name, because Arn was doing an interview. He said, "We're the Four Horsemen of Apocalypse." And then the Four Horsemen just stuck right there.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know what? That's another DVD they should make. The Four Horsemen. Where they just have, like, the greatest Four Horsemen matches with, you know, you put a mixture of Benoit, Malenko, Arn Anderson, and all that.
And Mongo!
Would you stop? I hate Mongo.
I hate Mongo, too, but he's Mongo.
All right.
Steve Mongo McMichael.
Four Horsemen?
I think that's enough, man. Now, here we go again.
Now we're about to go, because you know what? You realize the Four Horsemen can arguably be the number one faction of all time.
Yeah.
But the point is, there's two other factions that actually could beat them. Now, I know we're going to get a lot of disagreement about this one, about our orders. Our number two of the Sharpshooters top five is the NWO.
And here we go again, Hollywood Hulk Hogan,
who I think has made every list
again.
Top five that we have.
We gotta come up with a list when he's not involved. Well, if we did the one, the Juice one, he's on steroids. He's on there too.
Yeah. So the point is,
Hogan's everywhere.
The top five women wrestlers.
I put the top five without Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
Featuring no Hulk Hogan, but
anyway, the NWO because
Hall Nash,
Hogan,
the LWO.
I mean, it's better off. See. Unlike the Ministry, who actually had control to the Evolution.
Did they?
The NWO inspired out of control. When you start getting the LWO,
the ladies' world,
those Latinos, the Wolfpack, and all that. I think the original NWO was
Hogan, Hall and Nash, and Horace.
No, what's cool?
I just remember Horace when I seen the Ultimate Warrior.
Don't forget about the Disciple.
Oh, the Brutus Disciple, BK, yeah. Eric Bischoff was in there.
I mean, the NWO, how they got so much ratings for...
Did Sting join the NWO?
No, he never joined.
Did he join the Wolfpack?
No.
He started paying himself rent?
You know what? He might have joined the Wolfpack.
I think he was
in
there.
Wow, that's crazy. Sting was in there. Hey, just let you guys know, the rumor about Sting being on Raw, they supposedly said it's not true. But don't surprise me. He's in his 40s. I would love to see Sting versus Shelton Benjamin. But we know that can happen.
Hey,
his last match was in January 2005. Let's just bring AJ Styles to WWE.
2005?
Yeah, this year. He did a match for TNA.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, back to our list. Noah was one cool thing about the NWO that's really not NWO orientated.
What?
The BWO from ECW.
Oh, yeah. The
Nacho Man, the Blue Meanie, Stevie Richards. That was funny.
Yeah. We're taking over.
And speaking of taking over, it's time for our number one. No other.
Do, do.
The Generation X.
Second.
I mean, man.
That was the best faction ever. I'm talking about both of them, actually. When you had Triple H led one, when he took him into WCW.
Or the Shawn Michaels led one.
Exclusive Shawn Michaels and Triple H, and I guess the Ninth Wonder World China.
I mean, really, the Generation X, they did what they want. They did it when they wanted. They did it how they wanted.
They held every belt at the same time.
The craziest thing about the Generation X, now people realize, they were the NWO killer, I believe. Oh, did they have him before NWO?
No, they have to after NWO.
Oh, No, but I think they, because that's when they were having all those other NWOs, and that's when they
were somewhat, yeah.
They were coinciding with each other.
That was the reason. That was one of the reasons why WWE rised over WCW.
I regret that I was never able to purchase a D-Generation X shirt or nothing like that. I mean, true, I couldn't stand X-Pac, but I mean, some of the memorable moments.
Mike Tyson!
Yeah, that was great.
That was the worst sucking ever.
One, a cool moment is Shawn Michaels coming out to the ring with the Jack Daniels in the little black biker shorts with China and Triple H talking about they ain't leaving the ring. I don't know what they wanted.
And it was like, China, you cheating, man.
They were out ringside where, like, Michael Cole and Taz and
they were in the ring.
No, but remember they moved it out of the ring. They were at ringside, which was better. And the Headbangers came out and they're playing cards. And then they hit... I think it was
Chaz.
No, it was Mosh.
Mosh
it was
Thrasher.
Headbanger Thrasher upside the head with Jack Daniels,
which is one of the great segments in wrestling history.
Also, another good segment is when the Generation X was feuding with the Nation of Domination. This was under the Triple H regime when the Nation of Domination was under the Rock regime. Remember, because you had the Rock
versus Triple H.
You had the Rock. You had Triple H was intimidating the Croc. Sean Waltman, a.k.a. X-Fox, was imitating Mark Henry. Road Dogg and Badass was imitating D-Lo and,
I think it was Kaba.
Kaba,
I
mean, yes.
What's his name? He was the godfather at this point Kaba, with the Rock to go.
Yeah, yes. It was hilarious. And then also, the most priceless moment is when Triple H led the Generation to
invade WCW.
Let us in and talk about it. It was like sold out. Then y'all give away tickets at the beginning of the show.
I saw, you know, the Monday Night Wars DVD. Mm-hmm. If Bischoff would have let them in, they would have beat Raw ratings that night.
You know what?
That being that funny.
Because I would have turned on WCW to see.
What the heck
they doing? What they doing there? Man.
They took over the show.
They had the tank.
Pointing out they gave free tickets.
So, I understand you got some loyal NWO fans, but all you people can suck it, because D-Generation X
they were great.
Was the greatest faction of all time.
I mean,
time.
They had so many one-liners.
I mean,
remember President Clinton?
I've been plugging DVDs.
I did not have sex with that boy.
All the DVDs I mentioned that they should make, I want the D-Generation
that
X
would be
DVD.
Great.
I want the app. I don't care about the match. I just want the outtakes.
Yeah, they have so many different skits and... What's the word I'm looking for?
This
outlandish behavior.
They were D-Generation X. They were, I mean, if you want to say what pushed the boundaries of censorship in wrestling, it was them.
Because every episode they were naked, pretty much.
Yeah. All right, so we have given enough praise to D-Generation X. Marcus, we need to wrap up. We almost about to be an hour again.
Oh, man, so this is supposed to be a short show.
We're going to be back with our closing comments, so we'll see you guys then. Well, you guys, we're back. I know we promised a short show, but apparently when me and Marcus get down here talking about wrestling, we just can't stop.
We just can't stop jabbering on about the good old times.
Hey, dude, can you imagine we did two shows? I mean, we did, you know how we have two different shows? Imagine we did one show, how long that show would be.
2 hour little show, Eric.
Man, that's ridiculous. We don't need to have an edition of Raw.
Or stress.
Yeah. I think 1 hour is long. I was happy with 30 minutes, but it's just too much stuff going on. Too much.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway,
we had like 23 minutes left.
Do you have any closing comments?
Well, I'm going to check out Heat Velocity later. I think anybody should do that.
Yeah, we're actually in the works of a new segment that actually talks about Heat and Velocity, because we feel that if we're going to be true wrestling fans, we really need to talk about that.
Send fan email before...
We need email before...
Wednesday from...
Actually, before Tuesday, because Nelson will be coming back from vacation, and we have to watch Raw, so please get your email in. Also, we need you guys to check out the website and vote on our poll, thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. Also, email us, you know, to emails for fan email, we need at thesharpshooters@gmail.com. And I guess that's pretty much it.
Do we have any videos?
No. Well, I guess it's time to thank the band that has played the music for that you guys have listened to throughout the whole episode. It's called 20 Reasons Taken, and the song name is It's On. We liked the song. It was rockish. It was rappish.
It was a mix of what we got.
Also, we found this at the Pod Show, Pod Save Music Network. So, of course, the music music was provided tonight for the Posho Posse Music Network. Please check it out at music.posho.com. We will have a link to the artist and the thing in our show notes. So, I guess it's it. I'm Eric.
I'm Marcus, the Grand Finale.
Alright, and we're the Sharpshooters. We'll see you guys next episode. After Vegas. Hopefully we're rich.
Episode 14.
And we can buy that new Power Mat.
Episode 14.
Alright, you guys, we're out. Super. And this episode is sponsored by the letter E and M.
How the hell E and M?
I don't know. Bye, you guys.